You're listening to Doc of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow, and for the rest of the hour, we're going to be talking about NASA's exploration of Saturn's huge planet-sized moon, Titan. Perhaps you've been watching the really interesting photographs, and now they have some radar pictures that were released coming back by the Cassini spacecraft that is going to fly close by that whole moon system of Saturn for the next 4 years. And it's been called the largest unexplored surface in the solar system. Titan's pretty big. Today we're going to talk about what we've learned so far. And joining me now is Linda Spilker, Deputy Project Scientist for the Cassini mission. She's out there at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena. Welcome back to the program.
Hello, Ira. I'm happy to be here.
Exciting stuff?
Oh, very exciting. Tremendously exciting.
What's the most exciting stuff for you?
Well, I think getting the first close look at Titan and the fact that the surface appears to be young and geologically active. We don't see a lot of big craters. It's definitely not a boring place.
So why is that surprising?
Well, we had a lot of ideas or theories about what the surface of Titan might look like, all the way from kind of a dead, inactive world up to something potentially much more exciting, which is what we're seeing. So we had a range of theories and ideas, and now with the data that came back Tuesday night, we're getting our first close look at that surface.
All right, give us a cook's tour, as they say, of what we know about the planet from these pictures. First, we've seen some unusual dark and light areas, right?
That's right. That's right. When we look in the images, there are very bright or white areas and dark areas. And in some places, the boundaries between these light and dark areas are very sharp, and that's interesting. And in some places, it's much more fuzzed over. And in fact, one thought might be in the places where it looks rather fuzzy or more diffuse that maybe some kind of process, maybe liquid water mixed with ammonia flowing on the surface, is creating these bright streaks, as we're calling them, in the equatorial region. Or maybe it's wind. Maybe wind is blowing particles around on the surface of Titan and maybe moving the dark material around and leaving these white streaks behind.
Well, one of the speculations and one of the textbook assumptions about Titan was that because it is so covered in this fog of is that when we've never gotten to see the surface, is that the surface maybe has huge oceans of methane on there. Did we find those oceans?
No, it turns out so far we haven't seen global oceans of methane. There might be tiny lakes. In the radar data, we see regions that are very radar dark. That means that the surfaces are probably flat and smooth and hence not reflecting back much of a radar signal. And one possibility might be that we're seeing tiny interconnected lakes. In fact, there's one region. It's bigger than Lake Tahoe. It's been nicknamed Cece the Halloween Cat because it kind of makes a cat-like outline on a part of the surface. So there might be tiny lakes, but certainly the idea of global oceans is disappearing as we study these data more closely.
Give us an idea of why they thought that there might be global oceans there.
Well, if we assume that Titan's atmosphere today is very similar, you know, it's been similar through since the formation of the solar system, then when you look at its atmosphere, mostly nitrogen with a few percent of methane, over that long 4.6 billion years, we know that the sunlight breaks apart the methane molecule CH4. Those pieces recombine and form heavier and heavier hydrocarbons, longer chains and so on. And this material then falls down and sort of rains out or snows out onto the surface of Titan. So if we use that assumption that the atmosphere hasn't been changed, then you'd expect about a 200-meter layer of hydrocarbons. And given Titan's surface temperature, the methane and the ethane would be a liquid on the surface,
right.
And hence we are thinking there might be oceans.
So do we still think from the data that it is still raining the stuff out but not forming into oceans?
We think that's right. It might be raining out, and maybe the hydrocarbons are mostly frozen, so it's more of a snow that these aerosols fall down. Or maybe Titan's atmosphere hasn't been the same since the beginning of its formation. Maybe it's gone through periods of having a very thin atmosphere where it wouldn't be able to produce a lot of these hydrocarbons. So now we're sort of opening up this box of theories and ideas of what Titan might be like and taking a look at some of those again.
And we're seeing also for the first time radar pictures coming back.
Right. Oh, yeah, the radar images are just spectacular.
What do they show us?
Well, first of all, to keep in mind, we're only looking at a tiny piece of Titan's surface, about 1%. And so it shows a very diverse surface with some of these dark patches, as I said, that might be liquid lakes or oceans. There are also tiny white lines that we call like white strings that are on the surface, and we're wondering if those might be some kind of cracks or uplifting of the surface that's gone on. Lots and lots of different ideas flowing around for what the radar interpretation might be. They're kind of like very tiny hairline features. One idea is maybe this liquid water and ammonia mixture has flown out into very thin sheets, and as the edges of these sheets erode away, you get a very sharp radar bright boundary, very white strings in the pictures, and so that's one idea. Or it might be that there's places that where the ice is sort of cracked and frozen, sort of lifting up, forming ridges. You know, we're looking at now our ideas about Jupiter's moon Ganymede and Jupiter's moon Europa to see if we see some similarities between what we're seeing on Titan and those places.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. And one of the reasons you go to Titan and Ganymede and Europa and places like that is that you might find that this primordial soup, as they call it, on Titan might be the same kind of planet, same atmosphere, the same chemicals mixture that was going on in the early days of Earth billions of years ago. So we get to see like going back in time to what Earth might have been like?
Right, right. Just sort of like Titan might be a time capsule for what's happening in the Earth's atmosphere. It has nitrogen and these hydrocarbons, the same kinds of things we think the early Earth's atmosphere might have. And if we can understand that chemistry, how the hydrocarbons come reform and come together, maybe we'll get hints about how life formed on the Earth. Of course, Earth's atmosphere and Earth is so different now since life has been on the planet that it's nice to have a laboratory like Titan to test out some of our ideas.
Mm-hmm. And this mission is also has cooperation from the European Space Agency, and they have a probe that they're going to drop to the surface in January. Huygens?
Right. The Huygens probe is going to be released actually on December 24th, and then on January 14th, it will descend via a parachute into Titan's atmosphere. And there we'll measure things like the temperature and pressure and in situ composition of the layers of Titan's atmosphere as we float down and then land on the surface. And the probe, it's really great. It has cameras that look up, look out to the side, and look down. So we'll be taking pictures not only of the atmosphere and the clouds, but also of the surface as we get closer and closer to see what one tiny piece of Titan's surface might be like.
Do they have the site yet, or are they waiting for these pictures to come back to actually choose where they're going to drop it?
Well, the site's already been predetermined, and what was nice about this flyby is that we did get pictures back of where Huygens will be landing, and it looks like a very interesting, very diverse area. It's a mixture of these light and dark regions. In other words, it's not just a homogeneous, bland area, but a very interesting-looking area.
So it could go splat, or it could go splash.
That's exactly right. You know, we don't know yet. You know, there could be a lake there that it might land in. It might land in the equivalent of like a hydrocarbon kind of snow or sort of fluffy stuff, or maybe on some rock hard ice. It's so cold at Titan, -290 Fahrenheit, that ice is actually like a rock on the surface of Titan.
Now Saturn has so many moons that we keep changing the number, don't we? But Titan is the largest moon on Saturn.
It's by far and away the largest. In fact, Titan is larger than the planet Mercury. And if it had formed elsewhere in the solar system, we'd call Titan a planet instead of a moon. And Titan is one of 35 moons so far. And as Cassini stays in its orbit for 4 years, I'm sure we'll discover many more moons. So the number so far now is up to 35 moons.
Mm-hmm. And it is sort of a feature of those planets, Jupiter and Saturn, and that they have these giant moons around them.
Yes, that's true. That's true that there must have been enough material left over from when Jupiter and Saturn formed to form a whole host of moons of various sizes. In fact, Jupiter's moon Ganymede is about the size of Titan. The big difference is that Ganymede doesn't have a thick atmosphere like Titan.
Mm-hmm. Talking with Linda Spilker of the JPL this hour and Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. And let's see if we can get a phone call or two before we have to go. Jeff in Muskegee. Hi, Jeff.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Yes, I'm wondering, you mentioned earlier about the vast oceans, and your guest said that may not be true. And so I'm wondering if the idea that of sending a probe to penetrate the atmosphere, to penetrate the, I guess, surface to go down into the atmosphere to see what's going on in the vast oceans is possible.
Could we send one aimed at the, you know, at one of those dark spots? If we find an ocean, could we send one into an ocean someday?
Yeah, in fact, NASA has on the books to look at going back to Titan and maybe actually orbiting Titan and having different kinds of probes, maybe like hot air balloons to float around the surface, and maybe, yes, in that case, we could maybe float across a lake and then drop a small probe into that lake. It would be quite interesting. Yes, we could do that.
All right, Jeff, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
How would the moons of these big moons of Saturn be different from some of the moons of Jupiter, like Europa, places like that? We keep hearing of possible places to go.
Yeah, Europa is interesting in that it's being gravitationally forced back and forth. In other words, its inside is being heated up, and so we think there's a liquid water ocean underneath Europa's crust. And that's one of the things we wonder about Saturn's moons. Saturn's moons formed in a place that's a little bit further from the sun, so it's been colder where they formed. And so we'll be looking both for similarities and differences between these two different groups of satellites.
Is it possible that you can find chemistry that would point toward a chemical evolution of life on either Europa or on Titan?
On Europa, it might be a possibility given the fact that there may be a liquid water ocean underneath the crust. However, on Titan, it's so cold that unless we find evidence for a liquid water reservoir underneath the crust, you really kind of need that liquid water. So as far as the surface of Titan goes, even though it has this nice thick atmosphere, about 1.5 times thicker than the Earth's atmosphere, we don't think that life, as we know it, at minus 290 Fahrenheit would form on the surface of Titan.
Where would all the methane be coming from on Titan?
That's a good question. It looks like the methane is continually being replenished. You know, there's some source of methane, some kind of what we call outgassing.
Maybe. No swamp gas there.
Yeah, swamp gas, exactly. Exactly. Something's going on there, and we hope we can pin it down. One of the things we're going to look for is these streaky features that look windblown. We're going to look over the 4 years of the tour and see if these features move around. In other words, if the winds are blowing and if the dust, you can kind of think of them as like little dust bunnies blowing across the surface. If they change places on Titan.
But in all seriousness, here on Earth you get, you know, methane comes from, you know, swamps. It comes from cows. I mean, where could it come from on Titan? Is there some organic process doing this?
No, it's probably not an organic process. You know, methane is what we consider a very primitive gas. It has one carbon and four hydrogens. We know that there's a lot of hydrogen around in the universe. So it's something that you would find fairly commonly. And usually things are just cold enough that it's pretty much frozen out.
Mm-hmm. Would it be fair to say that Titan is, caught in suspended animation because of how cold it is?
In a certain sense. Maybe it's like a primitive Earth atmosphere, exactly, caught in suspended animation. One other kind of very interesting point, we had a little scan to look for the topography of Titan, about 1,200 miles long, and we didn't see much topography. In fact, we only saw differences in height of about 165 feet. So in this little strip that we saw of Titan, we didn't see any giant mountains or deep craters. And so that's a very interesting puzzle. It'll be nice as we get more of these strips to see if Titan's surface really is, you know, pretty much as flat as this first strip is telling us. Although we have to be careful that just with a little tiny bit of data, not to infer too much.
As they say in radio, stay tuned. We'll be back as this mission goes on, because it's quite interesting. Thank you, Dr. Spilker, for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Linda,
thanks, Ira.
You're welcome. Linda Spilker is Deputy Project Scientist for the Cassini mission at NASA's JPL Laboratory in Pasadena, California. Our program is produced by Annette Heist, Charles Berquist, and Senior Producer Karen Berghoff. Charles is also our director. Our interns are Corey Binns and Abby Leonard. And if you'd like to write to us, send your letters to Science Friday, 55 West 45th Street, 4th floor, New York, New York, 10036. Also, you can surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. Click on the Teachers button there, and you'll get to free curricula on Science Friday's Kids Connection that you can use in your classrooms. All kinds of references there for you to teach material. Also, you can download Science Friday on your iPod or on your Audible player and listen to it on Real Audio from the website of archive editions of Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.